Hey guys, this episode I'm going to talk about government bureaucracy. I'm going to do some ranting and raving, but it's good, it's controlled, it's entertaining. After that, I'm going to talk about a coronavirus update. So how many people have died, how many infected, what are we looking like here in the United States? You're not going to want to miss it. So you can check out my website, tstuch.com, tstuch.com. Follow me on YouTube, Taylor Space Stutch. Follow me on Twitter, tstutch1. You can follow me on YouTube, Taylor Space Stutch. And email me, tayradio1 at gmail.com. Okay, guys, thank you and enjoy the episode. Okay, let's get the show going. So let's talk a little bit about first experiences. I know that might sound weird and vague, but I have, since going to Taiwan this last time, I realized how important experience is. And I've realized it in a number of ways. One way I thought about it was in terms of dating at first, was I realized once I was away from the U.S. and I was kind of, you know, figuring out things in Taiwan, say when I was trying to initially meet some people, I thought about how valuable some of my life experiences. In fact, I should say that that's something I just think about regularly, actually, is whether it's going into a business, whether it's trying to meet somebody, no matter what the situation, in a lot of ways, your experience is very valuable because it can bring wisdom and skill with it, right? Like your experience perfecting certain skills is going to allow you to become an expert in many fields. Or an expert in that field or an expert in that ability. And similarly, your experiences in life as you achieve those goals, and depending on how you go about experiencing life, the more experience that you obtain, a lot of times, the more wisdom you can pull from that experience. Now, some people, that's not the case. But as somebody who, you know, was a big fan of Nassim Taleb, and honestly, I've just been very critical of the academic structure of the world for a long time because one of my biggest issues has been that people that are, you know, academics or academic experts too often don't have enough real world experience. However, those people want to look at the data and say, oh, well, you know, here's what the stats say. So, you know, people should do this or people should do that. Or as somebody who has really disliked government control, I don't like government action. I don't like the government dictating to the people what we should do and how we should live our lives. So with that being said, I've also had a very big distrust of, you know, these academics and policymakers, especially as they have very little on-the-ground experience. You know, there's a guy that I have been following on Facebook since high school, and, you know, we've been Facebook friends. He graduated a year earlier than me, and he's been on a political track his entire life. He went to, like, I think George Washington University, but then he joined the Coast Guard, and basically he's been doing everything to check the boxes. Right? Because, I mean, there's nothing wrong with joining the Coast Guard. I think that's perfectly fine. But this guy has had political ambitions since high school. And I know that the Coast Guard is the probably the least dangerous of the services in terms of you're not going to likely, like if you're in the Coast Guard, I could be wrong, and I'd be welcomed for criticism. I welcome any criticism. But I'm pretty sure if you're in the Coast Guard, they're not sending you out into the deserts of Afghanistan or Iraq. You know, of course, you're going to be dealing with certain things like drug runners coming across areas, but I've also known people in the Coast Guard who have talked about how it's a pretty good gig, how if you join the Coast Guard, you know, you're probably not going to see a lot of action, but it's fun. A lot of people I've talked to that were in the Coast Guard said it was fun, or at least the people that I know that were in it. And so I know he's checking off those boxes, and he's, you know, about 29, 30, and he hangs around the political circuit mostly. And for me, I just have some disdain for that kind of lifestyle, not for somebody who joins the service, but somebody who purposely avoids maybe going into the private sector or really throwing themselves into the fray, like always being protected by the government institutions, right? Like, so you're in college, then you go to the military, then you join another government organization. Yes, I think for some people, you know, maybe being a diplomat or being in the government is what they are meant to do. But I also think that everybody would gain valuable life experience, necessary life experience, in order to govern by doing things outside of that, by going and doing shit in the non-government protected world, right? So starting a business, traveling around the world on your own money, basically just living life before going into government. I have a disdain for the idea that people can live their entire lives in the government sector. Like, that's how you get somebody like a Bernie Sanders. That's how you get the Clintons. That's how you get these people. You get these disconnected elites because they spend their entire lives, most of their lives, geared towards or in the government. And as a result, these people are disconnected from the day-to-day. So, of course, you know, regular people can be fucked up too. It's not like we're all special people that aren't in government. But when you are in the small business world, or when you're in the business world, or when you have a family and you're having to make ends meet and you're having to, you know, coordinate things in the real world and figure out how you're going to get things done, when you're in that kind of a world, you develop relationships with people, you see how ethics evolves between individuals and groups, and you get much more of a sense, I would believe, of how to treat people and, you know, what people want. And so I believe that if you were to go from the real world to the government with enough time and experience, that you have a better idea of how to treat people, of what the people want, right? The people don't want to be told what to do on high from government bureaucrats who have no life experience, right? Who don't have experience in the trenches of the real world. And in the U.S., we have too many of those people. You know, that's actually one reason why I like Trump as a president, is because, you know, people might say, oh, well, he had his daddy's money. Yes, don't get me wrong. I know that he inherited money from his father, for sure. But if you do some history on Trump, then you would also, so if you do some history on Trump and some background, you would also know that he did make a lot of money on his own. That he made a lot of money on his own. He's done a lot of business deals. He's been in the trenches of business and real estate for a long time. And so, yes, did he come up with money? Absolutely. At the same time, did he have to cultivate some real relationships? Did he have to deal with, you know, his family? Did he have to, you know, work on building a business and name in real estate? You know, nobody really knew what Trump was before he came along. You know, listening to his biography, The Art of the Deal, and you hear about his father was very successful, but nobody really knew who his father was around the United States. Most of that was this current iteration of Trump that people know and understand, because he took all of that stuff to the next level. But, you know, and that's why he's successful to a degree. But I would much rather have a successful businessman president than almost all of the political motherfuckers that are running. You know, I don't like Bloomberg's ideas either. You know, or I don't like Bloomberg's ideas. But if you were to ask me, would I want Bloomberg or a would I like a Bloomberg or would I like Warren or would I like Bernie Sanders, I would go with Bloomberg all day long. Now, if you said between Bloomberg, Andrew Yang, and Bernie Sanders, then I would go with Andrew Yang. Andrew Yang also has real-world experience. He was an entrepreneur. He's been in business. He's got a family. You know, there's these elements of real-world experience that I value in a person. I do not value the life experience of somebody who has no life experience, whose life experience is, I graduated, I worked for a year, then I just worked for a college, and now I'm going to, you know, I worked for a university and taught for 50 years, and now I'm going to go run for president. It's like, no, dude. I don't give a shit if you were a senator. I don't care if you were, you know, if you have a degree in law. You spent your whole life teaching people in a, you know, in a university or in a some other government situation, and then you're going to go ahead and tell us how we should have our laws done when you know nothing about how the people live, when you know nothing about what the people want. You're so disconnected. Go fuck yourself. That's what I say. And now I am not going after people who have their whole lives in government or in certain levels of government or teach. I think teaching is good. Teachers are rare and extremely valuable. I've had some great teachers in my life that have been awesome, really good. And so if you're a teacher, I don't have a problem with that. I mean, that's basically, you know, I teach English right now. It's private sector. But I don't have a problem with people teaching. What I have a problem is people that want to go, oh, I want to work for the government or a university my whole life. Then I'm going to go into government and then I'm going to try to rule over the people with absolutely no fucking idea of how to do anything else besides fucking teach or besides how to draft legislation. You know, I can't stand that kind of shit. But those are the people that run our government. They're the people that run our world. All right, I'm going to go ahead and pause here for a sponsor break, and I'll be right back. All right, so we are back. Now, part of my disdain for the, like I've said, for the people that are obsessed with government is their life experience. And part of that, you know, a lot of that comes from being a kid and growing up and seeing how, you know, the government most of the time is trying to take away your rights and abilities under the guise of fairness, under the guise of freedom. And, you know, I just don't buy that. I don't think that the government, most people in government don't want to protect you. And what's sad is that people think of the government as like a monolith, like, oh, it's the government. And it's like, no, dude. The way that I think we should properly view the government in many ways is it's just groups of individuals, and they're competing for money. They're competing for taxpayer money. And people need to understand that most people in government are trying to figure out how to make the most money for themselves and how to justify their existence. So when you give people power and responsibility in government, their job is to exercise that to demonstrate that they, so they can get more money. A lot of times, a lot of agencies. And so why would I trust a bunch of people who are just as self-interested as any businessman, but they don't have the ability to go out of business? I want somebody who's in a position where they have skin in the game, where if they make bad decisions, they are responsible for the negative consequences of their actions. And in government, you don't have that. In government, you have a situation where people can do fucked up things, they can cause problems for people all over the country and sometimes all over the world, and they have no consequences because they're protected by the bureaucratic machine. They're protected by the fact that they're in a large government entity, that they can diffuse their own responsibility to the system as a whole. And that is fundamentally, people need to understand that with a large central government, you have individuals acting self-interestedly, right? They're acting in their self-interest. They're being greedy. They're being assholes. They're being pieces of shit, except now they're protected by a system. They're protected by a bureaucracy. So as opposed to you and me, like I can go out into the world and let's say, you know, I've imported some workout bands from China. So I import the bands, and let's say I decide that I want to rip some people off, so I give them some shitty bands. Well, guess what? They're going to give me some bad reviews on whatever site that I'm selling those bands on. Then I'm going to have trouble selling those again, or people are going to want their money back, you know? And so I have direct negative consequences to doing bad, to giving bad service, to selling bad products, to doing bad things, to being unethical. I have direct negative exposure. I've seen this in small business, working in the courier, small courier company with my dad. Same thing, right? If you act unethically, first off, I've worked with people that are unethical. I've worked with contractors that are unethical. And people, sometimes a contractor will come back and want to work for you again with a history of doing fucked up shit. And you're like, look, dude, this ship has sailed. You've already demonstrated you're not trustworthy. So that person has learned the hard way that being overly greedy is going to work negatively. It's going to work against them. I've worked with people that is the case. Now, in the government, you don't have those kinds of, you don't have that feedback. And so like I've said before, it's very hard for me to have respect for certain people in government when they're going to tell everyone how to make decisions, or they make decisions for masses of people when they're not exposed to the downsides of those decisions. And that's called not having skin in the game. They are not taking any risk. If they tell people to go into a war, or if they pass some kind of healthcare legislation, the Congress must be held to the same standards as the people. Bureaucrats must be held to the same standards as people in business. When you fuck up, you're gone. You don't get a government pension and government protection for the rest of your life. So, that's just some of my ideas on that. But let's go ahead and transfer over. Let's talk about Corona for a minute. So there was a huge upsurge in coronavirus patients, I think like 15,000, increase in 15,000 new diagnosed Corona patients. The death toll is now over 1,500. So in about a few weeks span, the death toll went from in a month, we've gone from 50 to 1,500 deaths. And it looks like it's spreading in other parts of the world, like Vietnam and Singapore and some other places. And people are definitely starting to get worried. I am optimistic in some respects. I'm here in the U.S. I feel, since I've said so before, one of the things we have going for us is that since we are so separated and atomized, that should help us, in my opinion, deal with this a little bit. So everyone drives cars, people live far apart, people live out in the suburbs. That should help contain some of the transmission, I think. It should make it easier to contain, I think, in the U.S. That being said, we've got a few new cases here in the States, and I just hope that people are ready to do what needs to be done. So to self-isolate, to stay away from people. I myself have been doing a degree of that. So I have been avoiding large groups. I normally like to go out on the weekends, go to some places, but I plan on avoiding some of that, especially I'm in Houston. There's a large Chinese, it's an international city. And so people could be coming in from all over the place, especially China. Second, there's a huge Chinese population here. So how many people from mainland China came here, or how many people from Houston went to mainland China and came back? There's probably a large number of those people. And if that's the case, then, you know, there could very well be a spread of that going on here in Houston, but nobody knows about it yet. So what's going on, in Singapore, they of the 50 cases they've had, I think 8 people are in the ICU. And what's worrying people is containment. Like I've said before, is the biggest thing about, one of the biggest things about this virus is that it looks like it's putting a high number of people in the hospital, which means it's taking up, and there, it's not just putting people in the hospital like you put them in there and monitor them. It's putting them in the ICU, the intensive care units, which means that there's a lot of resources devoting to keeping these people well and alive. but you can only have so many of those people. Once you get past the threshold of how many people you can take care of in the ICU, then you start to have a huge increase in mortality. So we might be able to keep people alive when you've got a few people in each city that have it. But if you were to have several hundred people and say even tens of cases, like if you were to have, say, 20, 50 cases in each city where they need intense in major cities with healthcare systems, with good healthcare systems, if you were to have just about, say, 50 of those cases in each major city where they need intensive care units, I would imagine that would be an issue, because we probably already have some of the intensive care units are probably already being used to what capacity, I don't know. But there are probably already several, there's probably already a large capacity being utilized. Even if it's not a large, there's probably already a decent amount. Maybe what? Even if you were to say 20 or 30% is being utilized, which it's probably more, but even if it's a smaller percentage, then if you have to dedicate those to virus patients, you could really have a problem on your hands where the other people that need it don't get help. And if the virus spreads, say you're at capacity of maybe you only have so many ICU units. Well, if you've got an extra 200 or 300 cases outside of that that need ICU care, you're fucked. They're going to die. That's where we see the spark in mortality. That's where I think we have the biggest issues. I've said this from the beginning. I said this from 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago, maybe even more, that one of the biggest issues with this potential outbreak that they saw in China was that there were so many people that got it that even if it's 20% of the population that gets it that needs intensive care, if this thing spreads as much as it's spreading, then you have a situation where 20% of a lot of people is a lot of fucking people. And you can overload medical systems and overload society's ability to deal with it. So that's where we have an issue. That's where we have a potential threat. Anyway, that's my update on Corona. You can follow me on my website, tstuch.com, tstuch.com. You can like and subscribe on YouTube, Taylor/Stuch. You can follow me on Twitter, tstuch1. Email tayradio1@gmail.com. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.